And the title of this morning's sermon is The Skin Sermon. Never thought you'd hear that, did you? Open your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 3. And we're going to begin the skin sermon. 1 Peter, chapter 3, beginning with verse number 8. The Bible says, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you, if you be followers of that which is good? But, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good manner of life in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." You know, the Bible's a phenomenal book. 66 books. The Old Testament, the New Testament. 39 in the Old, 27 in the New. Took 1,500 years to write, 40 different authors. It's phenomenal. It is full of words of wisdom. It is full of words of knowledge and understanding. And we just love our Bibles, don't we? Amen. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 2, verse number 6, "The Lord gives wisdom, and from His mouth comes understanding and knowledge." The Bible says in Proverbs 1, 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." So if you have your Bible, and you read your Bible, and you study your Bible, and you love your Bible, realize that its pages are full of help for you and for me. That reminds me of a story of a preacher that was preaching the Bible. He was preaching hard and long, and he just kept going on and on and on. You know what I'm talking about, right? It was so hot in the auditorium. And he just didn't seem like he'd ever quit preaching. And finally he said, "Friends, what more could I say?" And one of the elders screamed out from the back, "Amen." Just say amen. So let's move to the skin. And let's start, first of all, with thin skin. You wondered where we were going to go with the skin, didn't you? Thin skin. Have you ever heard of thin skin? You can look that up in the dictionary. That's very sensitive, easily insulted, unable to deal with anything that might seem like criticism. Open your Bibles to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 3, verse number 3. Here is the qualifications of bishops. And in verse number 3 he says, "Not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient. Not a brawler, but covetous." Not a brawler. Another version says, "not quarrelsome." Another says, "not thin-skinned." And the idea is that an individual who's thin-skinned is going to be involved in more quarrels, more disagreements and arguments, because they're easily offended. And so, in other words, he's saying that if you're thin-skinned, it can lead to an arguing spirit, set off too easily, offended often. And when a person is offended often and easily, it just leads to a life of sadness. And that's the exact opposite of what God wants you to have. And I'm here to tell you this morning, criticism is not fun. And some folks with a thin skin can be crushed by it. It's like a little wind that blows and the little twigs and the little trees just snap off and fall easily. We've heard the saying, you can't take the heat. If you can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen. The thinner our skin is, we start seeing things that aren't there. The letters you should have gotten that you didn't get. The looks you should have gotten that you didn't get. The people that should have waved to you, but they didn't wave to you. The things that should have happened, but didn't happen. The person who walked by you who shouldn't have walked by you. You know what I mean? You start seeing all this stuff in the shadows. We got enough problems in life than to have to see trouble in the shadows. You know what I mean? But when you're thin-skinned, you see it all. You see stuff no one else can see. You're hurt too easily, too tender. And what God is teaching us is that we need to toughen up a little bit. Amen. It's all right. Toughen up a little bit. Not everything is a slight. And if you get hurt a lot, you get conditioned to start looking for the slights. It's the slight. That's a terrible word. When's the last time you said that word, slight? He has slighted me. It's a slight. And you're looking for them. And you see them everywhere. Other people can't see these slights. But man, you can see them. Offenses. Criticism. And it's hard when you're at work and they say it's time for your annual review. And everyone who expects an annual review, they expect they're going to sit down and the boss is going to say, you're the best employee we've ever had. Everything about you is so great. Everyone ought to be like you. A plus on everything. Goodbye. Here's some more money. No one ever gets an annual review like that. Have you? It doesn't happen. And let me tell you why it doesn't happen. Everybody listening? They don't want to give you more money. They're not going to tell you you're so great you're worth double your salary. What do you think they're going to say? That manager who's reviewing you is being reviewed too, and there's always something you can say about somebody. Is that true? That's right. But when you're thin-skinned, you can't handle it. Criticism from your spouse can't handle it. Criticism from an employer, criticism from a friend, criticism from a relative can't handle it. It's too much. And here's what I'm going to tell you this morning. Nobody is good at handling criticism. And that includes you. Someone said, oh, I can take it. No, you can't. Come over here. I'll give you five or six things. You will cry like a baby. Okay? Nobody can handle it. It's not easy. It hurts. It's hard. But I'm here to tell you that the longer you work on it, the easier it becomes. There can be good in criticism because it means it can lead you to growth. And God spends a lot of time criticizing us. I'm here to tell you this morning that criticism's going to come whether you like it or not. It's relentless. It just keeps coming and coming and coming. No matter what you do, criticism's going to come. But I'm also here to tell you that God can give you a breakthrough. And you can learn to live not having such a thin skin. And the Bible teaches you in many scriptures to strengthen up, have a thicker skin, in other words. And I told you the word thin skin is directly in the Bible with those qualifications of the elders, not thin skinned. Here are some things that I've heard through the years. I just decided I'll just try to think as way back to age 17 when I started preaching. I'm going to write down everything that I can remember that I've heard. I do not go over this often. I'm not the kind of person who tries to think of everything everybody's ever done to me, said to me. What kind of life is that? But I can remember it because it's hard to forget stuff. Is that right? So here's one of the first time I remembered these things. I just try to rattle them off. Here's what I've heard as a preacher. You're too loud. You're too soft, we can't hear you. These are all true, I'm not making any up. You tell too many jokes. You're not using enough levity, I can't pay attention to your sermons, they're too boring. You preach too long, you're not preaching long enough. You preach too much controversy. I don't feel like you're saying anything in your sermons. There's not enough scripture in your sermons. There's too much scripture in your sermons. You move your hands too much. You're standing too still and you're not moving your hands enough. You're in your office too much. You're not visiting the people enough. Your wife is this and your wife is that. Blah, blah, blah. You're just preaching to get laughs. You're too protective of your family. And the list goes on and on and on. Sooner or later, you grow up and realize, ain't no way I'll ever make everybody happy. If God is happy, I'm happy. Because I can tell you, in my life, and including in yours, all you can do is the best that you can. That's it. That's it. There's one thing that nobody's ever said to me, and that is, he's not doing the best he can. Well, yes, I am. It might not be good enough for you, but it's the best I can do. That's it. So if you just do the best you can, God will bless you along the way, and you don't need to worry about who's got something to say or something not to say. And that's not just for preachers, that's for everybody. You're doing the best you can as a wife, the best you can as an employee, the best you can as an employer. Everywhere you are, you're just doing the best you can. And do you think for one minute when you're doing the best that you can that somebody's not going to criticize you? I can guarantee you that they will. So the older you get, the easier it gets, and you just say, line up. That's what I tell people now. Stand in line. Stand in line. Because I can guarantee you I'm not going to preach softer, because then someone will say, speak up. I'm not going to use more scripture because someone says I don't have enough, because someone's going to say, you're not preaching, all you're doing is reading the Bible. I can't change for the whims of one person criticizing you. You know what I mean? You just do the best you can. Try to be the best person you can. When I was a young man, I started getting all worried about all this stuff, and so I started copying preachers. Started walking like they walked and moved like they walked. And then someone said, you're not preaching from your heart. It just seems like you're copying a preacher. And I decided, you know what? David is going to be David, and David's going to die David. Amen? That's it. So that's what I've been doing ever since. Someone said, that white guy's wearing blue shoes. Amen. David is going to be David, and he's going to die David. That's it. My wife herself said, please don't wear those pink shoes. I said, woman, I'm wearing the shoes. That's it. You got to learn not to take things personally. You can't have such a thin skin. You're not going to be effective for the Lord if you're hiding in your house with the door closed and the curtains drawn all the time. Thicken up a little bit. Amen? Thicken a little bit. Reminds me of the preacher who followed one of the deacons out Sunday night to his car. Deacon wasn't there on Sunday morning. The preacher said to the deacon, I heard that you went to the baseball game this morning instead of coming to church. And the deacon said, not so. I went fishing, and there's the fish to prove it. True story. Little bucket of fish right there. We got to train our children better. I got to thinking about this. I've tried to be the best father that I could. Not perfect, just trying to be the best. I know my children because I'm their dad. They can handle criticism. They can handle it. And I know why they can handle it. Because since they were this big, they've been criticized when they were wrong, and they've been praised when they were right. You go the wrong way, you're going to hear about it. You go the right way, you're going to hear about it. Now, some folks are good at telling you when you're going the wrong way, but the right way, they're not so good at praise. You've got to do both. You're doing a great job. That trash you took out, you just did it perfect. Look at that, it's great. If it's the other way, son, what is wrong with your mind? What is this? This is not how we do it. When it's right, son, you're doing a great job. I didn't even have to ask you to do it. In our house, if Buddy forgets to take the trash cans out to the road and the trash man goes by, he has to take them one by one down the sidewalk over to the church dumpster and pour them in. One by one. He did it one time. That's it. He said, well, I'm going to remember those trash cans. How embarrassing it is pushing old dirty spider-ridden trash can. I got six of them, one by one. Yeah, that's right. I realize that by not protecting my children from all criticism, but rather teaching them that life is all about being criticized and praised, that when they got older, they can handle when they're wrong. Amen. And they can filter criticism and decide whether it's true or not. Because not everything that's said is true. Okay? So I think we need to spend some good time training our children. Don't be worried about criticizing your kids. Criticize them and praise them. Amen to that. What's wrong with that? That's just my theory. We got to learn to laugh at ourselves. Not become so defensive and bitter. The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord, and again I say, rejoice. So you can learn to live a life of joy and realize you're never going to escape criticism. You need to pray for your own attitude. Amen? And I have learned the best thing to do is focus on the majority. You got 200 people. You decide to paint the sidewalk a certain color. Can you get 200 people to decide what color they're going to paint the sidewalk? It's not going to happen. Should you ever assemble 200 people and ask them, what color should we paint the sidewalk? So how should you paint this? Should you not paint the sidewalk? Because three people might not like the color. You got to focus on the majority. Not everybody's going to like everything you do. Is that true? That's true. It's just how you live your life. Everybody lives that way. And every once in a while, look in the mirror and ask yourself if your skin is thin. Open your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7. And let's look at verse number 21. Ecclesiastes 7:21. Also, do not take to heart everything people say. Lest you hear your servant cursing you, for many times also your own heart has known that even you have cursed others. That's a great verse right there. Yeah. How many times have you spent moments criticizing folks as a pastime with your spouse or your friends? Have you ever done that? Let me tell you about that preacher. You see that preacher? That song leader? Your neighbor? Your cousin? Cousin Jerome. You see what Jerome's been doing? Look at that car. What's wrong with his hair? I know. What's he doing to his hair? No one's ever done that? Raise your hand if you know you have done that about somebody behind their back with someone you love just as a pastime. Raise it up. God's watching every one of you. Mike Keller, get it up there. Brother Strickland, raise it up. You already know. That's it. And what that scripture is saying, don't take everything you hear so closely to your heart. Don't take it so seriously. By the way, you've been doing the same thing. I think we're just put together like that as human beings. That's just what we like to do. When I go to the airport, I'm so excited about going to the airport. I love going to airports. I don't know why. I like to sit and watch the people walk by. And if I have a friend with me, my son with me, my wife with me, I go, look at that guy's shoes. Wait, shh, look at that guy. His socks. That big guy's got pink socks on. Look at him. Look at this guy. This guy's got a purse. Right? I just love doing it. Is that a sin? Might be a sin. You can tell me about it later. Open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 19, verse 11. Good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is is his glory to overlook offenses. You got to have a thicker skin. James 1:19, be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Thin skin's not good for you. Reminds me of the three little boys that were spending some time together down at the fishing hole. And they had dads, and one of their dads was a doctor, and one was a lawyer, and one was a preacher. And they got to talking about whose daddy made more money. And the boy of the doctor, he said, my daddy makes all kinds of money. He goes into the surgery room and he'll come home $1,500. And the boy whose daddy was a lawyer, he said, that's nothing. My daddy will go into courtroom one day and he'll come home with $2,000. And the boy whose daddy was a preacher said, that's nothing. On Sunday, my daddy stands and talks for just 30 minutes and it takes 6 people to carry the money. So we got thin skin out of the way. Number 2, thick skin. All kinds of skin in the Bible. Thick skin is a long fuse. You're hard to offend. You're a peacemaker. Jesus said that in Matthew chapter 5. You're able to endure problems. Long suffering. You're so good at giving people the benefit of the doubt. My mother-in-law was that way. You could say anything about anybody and she had an excuse for him. It was maddening. Because you just wanted her to agree with you. So you'd say, did you see Sister So-and-so said this, that? Well, maybe they had a hard day at work. Would you stop it? She just gave everybody the benefit of the doubt. She didn't want to run around offended all day long. You know, when people act ugly, you don't know why they're acting that way. Maybe they had a bad day at work. Maybe they were diagnosed with a terrible sickness. Maybe they've had a loss in their life. You don't know. I had a kitten one time that was running across the floor, brand new kitten. And I reached down to pick it up, and I had picked it up too fast, and it got scared, and it turned around and bit me 17 times in 1 second. And I dropped the kitten. That kitten did not bite me because it hated me. It bit me for a different reason. Not everybody that bites is biting you. Are you listening carefully? Not everything has to be taken so close to heart. And we've got to learn to be more like Jesus and have compassion on folks regardless. Amen. Have compassion no matter what. Yeah. You think about that evil guy, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is stealing money from people. He's got an evil heart. He just loves money. He's defrauding people. He's piling money in his coffers. And therefore having no sympathy on the poor. He's taking from the poor so that he can have more. And he sort of has an idea that Jesus is coming through town and he wants to see the Lord. Maybe he's tired of living the way he's living. And he climbs up into the tree. You remember the story? And when Jesus came through town, he could have stopped and talked to anybody, but he stopped to talk to Zacchaeus. He said, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house today. He said it out loud. I'm coming to your house today. He had compassion on Zacchaeus regardless. Does everybody see it? He had compassion on Matthew. He was a tax collector too. Compassion regardless. The centurion came to Jesus and said, I have a servant who's sick. And Jesus didn't say, you're a Roman, a sinner, worshiping false gods, go away. When the centurion came to him, he said, your servant is already made whole. Go home and see him. And Jesus said that he had great faith. He had compassion regardless. You see, a person's behavior is just their behavior. It's not a reflection on you. Is that okay? People who are real good at this work at hospitals and nursing homes. I've been at nursing homes before when the patients were just screaming at the nurses. You stole my money, you did this, you did that, and they're, oh, sweetie, it's okay, nobody stole your money. See, they're real good at that, and we should be better at that ourselves. Amen? Amen. Open your Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 12. Beginning with verse number 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. A thick skin. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink, for in so doing you shall heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And so you might have heard a light-hearted insult. Someone may have forgotten your birthday. You may have been excluded from a party. Maybe you were included in someone's gossip. I will tell you, the world is out to destroy you. But not everything has to be taken so seriously. And be very careful with that. So we talked about thin skin and thick skin. Why don't we talk about getting under the skin? I got all kinds of skin this morning. That's getting irritated easily. Getting under the skin, letting things bother you too easily, letting people bother you. There are some people who have made it a quest in their life to get at you. They want power over you. They want to see you fall. Maybe it's the neighbor that wants you to move. Maybe it's the church member who wants you to move. That's usually the preacher. I'm not moving. I'm staying here till I'm dead. So there. Maybe it's someone at work who wants you out because they want your desk or your corner office. We got to guard our hearts. We got to be careful. Amen. Be very careful. Irritated easily. Irritated by sounds. When I was growing up, I hated birds. They would get outside my bedroom window and make noise. Chirp, 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 chirp. And I'd think, there's birds. I'm going to kill the birds. And it would just reverberate in my brain. You know, I love birds now. I think birds are wonderful. It's all about your mind, isn't it? I love birds. I love hearing them. Irritated by traffic. Irritated by long lines. Irritated by people's habits. Irritated by sounds. Irritated by this, irritated by that. Pretty soon, you're just an irritated person. How are you doing? I'm not doing so good. How are you doing today? Who are you? What's going on? What's happening? Get out of here. You know what I mean. And one thing people are not saying when they walk away from you is, there's a good Christian person. So don't let things get under your skin. So we got thin skin, thick skin, under your skin. Take a guess what's next? Too much skin. Oh yeah, that's 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 9. Let's look over there. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 9. In like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety. And here in these days, not just the braided hair or pearls or costly array, but rather focusing on what's on the inside of the heart. You know, as Christian folks, men and women, we're examples to the world, aren't we? Teach our young folks about modesty. What is modesty? It's how you project yourself. And in our society, it just feels like we're becoming more and more exposed all the time. Maybe in 50 years, we just won't have any clothes on at all. I have no idea. But that's not Christianity. Christianity is modesty. And when you got kids in your house, they can show exactly as much skin as you allow. You own it. Like my mother always said, if you're going to live under my roof, that has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? You are going to live by my rules. That's one of the favorite sayings of any parent. And if you don't like it, you know where we're going. I had a friend who wore all the clothes her mom wanted her to wear, and on the way to school, she'd switch into all the clothes she wanted to wear. Till one day she got caught. So we got thin skin, we got thick skin, we got under the skin, we got too much skin, we got one more. Don't eat the skin. That's the truth, that's the Bible subject. You know, when you eat the chicken, they say you can't have the skin. It's bad for you. Too bad it's the best part. And everything that's the best is bad for you. I've got a problem myself with Randy's donuts, but it's bad for you. So it's a Bible subject of taking care of your body. And when I got to thinking about this point, I decided there's really nobody more qualified to tell you about that than me. I am the example of someone who is living like they ought to in this regard, because everything you see in me is muscle and exercise. But it is a Bible subject that we should take care of our bodies, because God wants us alive as long as we can be. There aren't many Christians on the earth, and He needs you here as long as you can be, working for the Lord. That's why the Bible says, do all things in moderation. Take it easy. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 8, bodily exercise profits little. Godliness is profitable unto all, but bodily exercise does profit. So take care of your body. Be sober-minded, the Bible says. Be in your right mind. There are things that rot your mind. Open your Bibles to Luke 21. Let's see here. Luke 21, verse number 34. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with drinking and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that day come upon you unawares. We got to be careful. We got to take care of our bodies. We got to take care of our minds, because we have God's work to do. We have children to raise, grandpeople to be around, church to serve, God to make happy. So it's a Bible subject. That's why Christians don't do drugs. That's why Christians don't imbibe, don't drink. That's why Christians aren't addicted to drugs and alcohol. But someone says, preacher, you don't understand. This is California and marijuana is legal. Well, that's too bad that the devil won out on that one. But Christians don't do that. If they make jumping off a bridge legal, are you going to go jump? Killing babies is legal. What are we going to do about that? So just because marijuana is legal doesn't mean the Christian goes to rot out his brain with marijuana recreationally. Amen? You don't grow it in your backyard and sell it to your friends either. Christians don't do that. They don't get involved in the drug business. Amen? That's right. So we talked about thin skin and thick skin and getting under the skin and too much skin, and then we ended up with don't eat the skin. Who would have ever known there'd be so much skin in the Bible? This morning the invitation is given to you. Believe, repent, confess, be baptized. The greatest blessing you have in your life is Jesus is alive and He's waiting for you. He'll take your sins away. If you're subject, you come while we stand and sing.